It's 88.5 FM, Jeff Penfield's My Name, backstage at Arroyo Seco Weekend, joined right now by Ian from Gomez. Thank you for taking a little time out.
Oh, good, man. Oh, good. Just got here. It's a beautiful day. My friend Phil Cronengold is on stage with the Milk Carton Kids right now.
Oh, yeah, he's
rocking it up. It's good to see some Eagle Rock boys. It's all good, man. It's a great place.
They visited the station a couple of days ago, did a great set for us.
Yeah, I bet.
And it was like one of the first times they had their full band, because normally they do the two guys and one microphone thing, and this time around
this
they're going
full
band.
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah. I just got to hear a little bit of it. They sound like the exact opposite to Gomez. They sound really professional.
Well, hey, man. I mean, you're out on the road right now celebrating Bring It On, the 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
So you're playing the album in full during these shows. How has that tour been going so far?
It's been really surreal. Really just kind of meeting a lot of people who, you know, have been listening to us for 20 years. A lot of them have kids now, and they bring the kids to the shows, and they're like 18, 15, and they're all have been listening to our band their entire lives. So, and it's the first time they've ever seen us live. So it's been a lot of younger generational fans, which was really surprising to us and also really cool because their parents basically forced them to listen to it. And now they're into it themselves, you know?
Yeah, and that's amazing how, you know, especially nowadays with the availability of music, whether it's digital or, you know, you have CDs still, or some people use vinyl. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can connect with a band.
Yeah, and there's so many bands. It's amazing that our little four-track experimental record has lasted as long as it did, but I guess us not really caring too much about it in the first place lent it a sort of sound that didn't really ever fit into any genre in the first place, so it still doesn't fit into anything.
Exactly.
You know?
So did you have any issues remembering any of the songs going back then?
Oh, yeah. Well, there was certainly one of them we'd never played ever. You know, there's always a couple of songs on the record that you do entirely in the studio and never play live. There was a couple of those. So we had to kind of figure them out and rewrote them a little bit. Now that we're 20 years older, we kind of took out the terrible, boring bits and replaced them with new bits. Yeah, it was good. Most of them, you know, a lot of the songs have been played throughout their last 20 years. So it was just a case of trying to find new ways of playing them that was exciting for us as well, so we got bored.
And you also did some deluxe versions of the original release. Were you involved at all with picking any of the stuff out for
that? I was the guy who had the four-track that we did the original thing on, so I went around and found my old tapes. It took me about 2 years to find a four-track player that could slurp the sound out of it, so I went back, found the old tapes, and then transferred them out off of the tape and put them back out on this new deluxe thing. So you can hear what it sounded like literally coming straight off the four-track cassette, what the album sounded like. So it was fun. That was a really fun thing. Noticing that I realized that after a while, as soon as the first time we actually managed to get through to the end of the song, regardless of whether or not it was right, if we got through to the end, that was the last version. So we never did retakes of anything. It was all completely live and all first take.
Was it something where you only had so much tape and you were like, we can't do another
one?
Well,
we didn't have any time. We had no time. We had all these songs and we're like, we just got to get them down. That was the idea. We just got to get them down on the tape. And then when the record company heard them, they wanted to release those versions of those songs.
Were you expecting that they were going to say, okay, we're going to get you into the proper studio?
That's what we were expecting to happen. But when there was just this sort of vibe about the original recordings that was just so interesting and different that the record company was brave enough, I guess, to go, just put it out like that. So we did. Well, now for the first time, you can actually hear what it sounds like as a four-track tape.
You went back to all these four-tracks and all these demos and everything, like, was there a particular find that you were like, oh my god, that was so amazing?
Yeah, there was a couple of things I found that were like at the writing session tapes where you would hear, there's one song that we have called Make No Sound, and I had no idea that we'd recorded it the second after me and Ben had wrote it, but we must have just recorded it on the end of this tape just so we didn't forget it. And it's a song that Ben has probably now sung live, you know, over 1,000 times. Maybe 1,500 times he's sung this song. So it was really interesting to discover that we found the recording of the very, very first time that he'd ever sung it, to compare it with like what it sounds like now. So it was like a weird relic of time. Ben sounds like 15 when he's seeing it, you know, and he's never sung it ever before.
Well, how old were you
when we did that? Probably 18, 19.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like even just like a few years, even after that, you think, oh, you're an adult now, you're all grown up, and even then, like, even me comparing myself, I'm on the radio and I go back to my demo tapes from when I was in college. I'm like, oh my God,
there's certainly an element of. It's as bad as looking at teenage photos of yourself, you know? It's just, we're lucky because there's no photographic evidence of us, you know, because we were pre-digital cameras. So I feel very fortunate to be the age I am, because there's no evidence of my, 20s. Or my teenage years, really, anywhere.
That's a scary thing.
Other than music.
I've had an iPhone since I was in my 20s.
Yeah,
so
I know.
I don't want that anymore.
I feel really blessed that I missed that. I missed that life, thank God.
What else have you mainly been focusing on the album live, or have you been throwing in any other cool stuff?
We've been just every day at Soundcheck, we just pick a couple of songs. So we do, depending, most of the nights we've just done the album from top to bottom, and then just randomly been picking from a pool of songs. And then each Soundcheck, we've been trying to get one or two new things up on every, or not new things, but like old songs we haven't played in a while. So it's been good. It turns out we got a lot of songs. We've got like 7-8 albums worth of songs. So we've got, you know, maybe quite a lot of B-sides. So it's about 140 songs and not in the whole catalog. So yeah, it's fun just pick them out. It's, you know, someone just shouts one out, and if we can kind of remember it, we go for it. It doesn't always work, but you know, we try.
You try. Any plans on what's going to happen after this, or are you just focusing?
We're going to be touring all year. Me and Ollie are in a couple of different projects. Ben is on tour. Ben, the singer, is on tour on his own. He does a lot of solo gigs these days. It's him and a couple of acoustics, so he's going to be out doing that. Me and Ollie are going back out on the road with Empire of the Sun. And then in January, Gomez is going to get together in Brighton and do some writing. Yeah, that's the plan at the moment.
Maybe a little music down the road.
Yeah, probably this time next year, I would have thought. Something like that.
Cool. Well, Ian, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you, guys. Have a great festival.
Yeah, Gomez celebrating the 20th anniversary of Bring It On.
That's it.
It's 88.5 FM.
Cheers, man.